Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Eric Bartsch with AGT. AGT Foods. Now, talk to me a little bit about that, because I apologize. I've been calling you guys United Pulse, and then I have to stop and correct myself. So when did the name change, and just talk to me about that transition?
The company actually started by our current CEO in Regina, Saskatchewan. Started the company in 2002, and the company started as Saskan Pulse Trading. Then the company grew from the original location in Regina to spreads throughout Canada. Took the company public in 2007. At that time, the global company became Alliance Grain Traders. And when the company went public in 2007, we expanded into the U.S., to where we started United Pulse Trading, then expanded into Australia, started Australian Milling Group, then expanded to China, into Turkey, into South Africa. And, you know, really, throughout the years, generated several different divisions, different names. So about 2-3 years ago, the company went through a branding change to where we renamed ourselves globally as AGT Food and Ingredients, with the U.S. division becoming AGT Foods USA.
What is a pulse crop, or I guess how would you describe a pulse crop to the average person?
So pulse crops, I mean, many people have many different versions of where the word pulse comes from or what pulse means. I mean, but pulse is Latin for thick soup. So it's an old traditional term used when describing peas, lentils, chickpeas, dry edible beans. You know, traditional uses for these crops have been for thick porridge or thick soup, so that's where the nickname generated from. But, you know, today, uses are much more beyond that. But within the industry, the term pulses has stayed with the crop for centuries and or for years, and now we're seeing that trend where consumers are understanding what the word pulse means and what pulse crops have to offer to them.
So I've talked to a few people up in Minot, either in the economic development world or city council and Ward County as well, and they've said that they put some land aside for a manufacturing facility or some kind of facility that could be one of the largest in North America or the world, or if not the largest in the world. So I thought I'd just ask you about some of the truths behind that and just kind of what's going on in Minot.
Yeah, you know, 4 years ago, we made the decision to expand the portfolio of pulse crops that we offer to our customers globally. You know, traditionally, pulse crops they're purchased from the producers in the whole form, and then they're cleaned, and then either split or shipped as whole to consumers around the world. We saw a growing demand for pulses used in other forms. So companies wanted to look at ways on how they improve products they put on the shelf or new products that they want to generate. You know, and one way that they've been able to do that is maybe the incorporation of pulses either into their human food they're producing or the pet food that they're producing. So taking the products such as our peas, lentils, chickpeas, and incorporate into everyday foods. In order to do that, though, they need to be provided in different forms other than a whole or split product. So we actually invested over $40 million into a factory in Minot, North Dakota. It was a greenfield project where we're taking the different pulses, peas, lentils, chickpeas, dry edible beans, milling them into flour, different granulations of flour, and then extracting protein and starch as a high-quality human food or pet food ingredient. And we've seen great success within this area. We've sold our facility to capacity, and we just did another expansion this spring, and we're looking at continued expansion of that product line. And really, this factory is the first of its kind within our company, and really is a global showpiece when it comes to value-added processing to pulse crops. And it's really, we feel, one of the first of its kind for this scale globally for our industry.
My understanding is that Minot or Ward County has set aside some additional land in case of expansions or a second phase. How many phases are you guys going to go through with this processing facility?
You know, to me, the opportunities are endless. Yeah, you know, the city's done a great job developing an industrial park in that region, and they've continued to to provide a platform for us to continue our growth as a company, continue to make investment in the area. We see the opportunity to be endless. Just the direction of consumers, the direction of large multinational food companies, the direction that's going, I think, puts us in a good position on the products that we have to offer. And so, I see the opportunity to expand many more phases beyond this one.
To listen to the full-length interview with Eric Bartsch of AGT or listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
The Real American Jam, a concert benefiting the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch west of Medora. Joe Diffie, Corb Lund, Ned Ledoux, Bart Crowe, and more will be performing. Tickets available now at realamericanjam.com. Camping's available. Call to reserve a spot, 701-623-4200. The Real American Jam, for the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th through the 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch. realamericanjam.com and buffalogapguestranch.com has complete details.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Kristen Bell, owner of the Dough Trader Pizza Company out of Spearfish, South Dakota. In addition to Bell, we also talk with manager Robin Nakajima.
I'm Kristen Bell, and I'm the owner of the Dough Trader Pizza Company.
I'm Robin Nakajima, and I'm the manager at Dough Trader Pizza Company.
Is that like a big deal, the sourdough? Is that?
It's pretty key to our product.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's quite a process.
It is.
We always have to, we feed it every day and like save some of it each day to feed for the next day, keep it going. And it changes all the time. We had like close to a near-death experience with the starter over the summer, and it came out even stronger, so then it changed the dough a little bit, so.
Now, sourdough is supposed to be healthier than regular bread. Is that right?
I would say so, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, we eat pizza twice a day, 6 days a week. Yeah. And it's like power food.
So, do you get into the gluten-free craze?
I actually think, and you know, I'm biased, of course.
Sure.
But prior to World War II, all bread was sourdough. That was how you kept your yeast alive. That's what you did.
Well, you know exactly where I'm going with this question.
Yeah. Yep. You do.
So, I mean, the gluten. So you don't consider sourdough to be part of the gluten?
We use a lot of gluten. We actually seek out a high gluten flour for our product, just because it lends itself to quality in terms of stretching. But the sourdough, the actual live active culture, breaks down the complex carbohydrates in there before they get to you, so it's really easy to digest and won't turn into a gut bomb like most white bread products will.
Say. Wonder so, bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was organic.
It was organic.
I know. The first day.
Go wash that table quick.
Yeah. I was hired.
It's true.
And as soon as I walked in the building, the very first day, Kristen's just like, "Oh, good, you're here. Cut some bell peppers." And I was like, I thought I was serving tables, but all right, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And she, I guess, was impressed with me because she asked me the next day, she's like, "Oh, would you like to come make dough with me?" I was like, all right.
So what did you think when she started cutting bell peppers right away?
I was impressed, yeah, but even more so the next day when we made dough, my whole family calls Robin Dough Fairy. Actually, everybody at Dough Trader and at Minder Binder, too, now in Arizona, refers to her as the Dough Fairy. She's like the dough whisperer. She has a way with it. It's just natural. She picked it up immediately, started singing to it, and it does really, really well.
What do you sing to the bread, to the dough?
Celine Dion.
Yeah, mostly that.
Really?
Yep.
That works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
It's very emotionally, right, yeah, it's out there.
Do you take requests?
Well, I know a lot of different music. I'm a music major, so that's what I graduated
with. Well, no wonder you're making pizza.
That's right.
Well,
that's
I'm a music ed major.
This is what we do.
Who are you? I'm sorry?
I studied theater. Right.
Oh, you're a theater major.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I was a communications major, and so I had to go create my own company because, like you guys, you can't just open up the want ads and say, hey, communication guy needed.
To listen to the full-length interview with Kristen Bell or Robin Nakajima with the Dough Trader Pizza Company out of Spearfish, South Dakota, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies, and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.